Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Travel Department. Experience travel the way it's meant to be. Fully guided and extraordinary.
Well, actor, comedian and podcast host Willa White has lived several lives. From a tough childhood, very early addiction, spells in prison and psychiatric units, to the point where he's now fit and healthy in his 50s, still working the day job and filling theatres all around the country. He's in rehearsals right now for The Examination in Dublin's Ambassador Theatre in April, and he joins me here in our studio this morning. Willa White, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Miriam. Thanks very much for having me in.
My honour. Listen, let's go back a bit. You've really lived through a lot. You were born, I think, Ballymun, but you may check me on this. Introduce your family to me and what it was like growing up and where you grew up.
I was born in the Coombe on the 17th of June 1971. We then moved to Mount Talent Avenue, where we were there for a short stay in Hardell's Cross. And then we moved to the heart of Temple Bar, to a place called Crampton Buildings, which were all tenement flats, which are still there, funny enough. And then from there, we moved to Ballymun. So most of my childhood was spent growing up in Ballymun. Came from a small family. Mother, father, one sister, Susan, who was older than me by 6 years. And growing up in Ballymun as a child, outside of the home, everything was great. Everything, you know, I grew up in a generation, obviously, where there was no phones, and you made your own phone and you went home for your dinner when the street lights came on. And, you know, it was a great time outside of the house. Inside the house was a totally different story. And my father came from a family of 16 children. My grandmother was pregnant for 16 years on the trot. So there was 16 years between the youngest and the eldest. And my father came from a lot of trauma in his home, mainly with his own father. And that carried through to my family. So my father had no way of dealing with what he was dealing with as a young child where he lived. And unfortunately for myself, my mother and my sister, we were at the brunt of the end. And my father was very violent, and he was alcoholic, and there was a lot of violence in the home, and there was a lot of stuff getting smashed up. He did a decent job. He worked semi-state. My mother worked in the clothing industry. She was a Hoffman presser. There was money in the home. Materialistically, me and my sister had a lot of stuff materially growing up, but we'd no love, we'd no affection. And, you know, we were beaten sometimes for things that we knew we were beaten for, and other times we were beaten for stuff that we didn't know what we were beaten for. So it was a very frightened and fear-based childhood for myself and my sister growing up in the home that we lived in, you know.
And Willa, do you think that's why you turned to drugs so young?
100%, definitely. Childhood trauma. Start taking drugs at a very young age, probably about 7 or 8 years of age. Start sniffing glue. And I have to say, what drugs done for me is that they took me away from the problem that was going on at home. And it was a short-term solution to a really long-term problem that I'm actually still dealing with today after all these years. But drugs suppressed all the stuff and pushed down all the things that I didn't really like to deal with in life, you know. Academically in school, I suffered. I wasn't great in school. Left school at 15 years of age with no education whatsoever. Went to live in London at 16. Mother and father had split up when I was about 15 years of age. My mother went to live with another man. And even though I was hurt and I was resentful and I was angry, I could understand, because when I look back then, you know, I thought, oh, the cheek of her or whatever, but I realised that my mother, you know, wasn't getting the love and the affection that, you know, any woman really deserves, or any human being for that matter. So she went and she sought it elsewhere. And my dad was left on his own with his drinking. And it was a very, very rough time in life. I'd come home from London and see him and try to live my own life in London, but was still dealing with addiction, didn't know how to stop.
But you were still only a baby. So you went there when you were 15, which is very, very young. You ended up, I think, early on in a psychiatric
I did.
Unit. Why do you think that happened?
I suffered with psychosis in London. I was 16 when I went to London, and I was about 18, 19 when I ended up in the hospital. And I suffered with drug psychosis and got really, really paranoid and thought that people were plotting to kill me, and I ended up getting sectioned and ended up in a psychiatric intensive care unit in Homerton in East London for about 7 months, which was really, really traumatic. I can still remember it. I tried to take my life in there. I went to hang myself from a window, and only for one of the patients who raised the alarm and called in the staff, I was cut down off the window. So I was in a really dark, horrible and lonely place as a teenage man, and couldn't really see any way out, and just thought, you know, the best thing for me and the best thing for everybody was to opt out and just get out of the world altogether.
Wasn't your sister amazing though? Like, she tried so hard, didn't she, Willa, so many times to help you?
She did. My sister was an amazing, very inspirational and instrumental person in my life. My sister was 6 years older. She meant more to me and done more for me than my mother or father ever did in my younger years in life. And, you know, she wasn't a drinker, she wasn't a smoker. I mean, specifically when I come home from London that time, been in the psychiatric hospital, she detoxed me when I was on the psychiatric daycare centre in Ballymun at the time, and got me down off all the medication and looked after me and nurtured me and got me, you know, somewhat kind of back into mainstream society, and done this a lot of times and was always there, you know, through the prison sentences, when I was homeless on the streets, when I was to end up in two other psychiatric hospitals. And she was an amazing woman, like, you know.
Always there for you. When you did land up in prison, Willa, I mean, it's not surprising, but like, what did you do that merited a sentence? Why did you end up in prison?
Well, a lot of the stuff in the beginning was just kind of misdemeanor stuff. Miriam, it was like, you know, shoplifting or, you know, trespassing or stealing. Nothing, you know, not that I'm trying to sugarcoat what I done, but nothing that was, you know, violent towards people, or it was nothing like that. I was a very kind of, I suppose, careful in what I done, that I, you know, because I was never, even though there was a lot of violence at home, I was never a violent kid growing up. I always in school even, you know, hated when kids got bullied or anything like that. So I shied away from violence. But and then later on, you know, I had drug convictions as well, and ended up in prison. Every time I ended up in prison was always to fund the drug habit. So, I never known all the time that if I dealt with my drug issues, and I dealt obviously with my past and my trauma and the stuff that had happened to me as a child, that maybe there was some way out for me to do this. But at the time, I wasn't ready to address my drug issues. But then eventually, I ended up going on the run. My mum lived in London at the time, so when I ended up in the hospital in London, my mum come over to my aid, and she ended up staying there. Then she built a life for herself there. A few years later, she met a man over there, and she ended up living with him, and, you know, things were really good. She was in London for a good few years, and when I eventually got caught with some drugs, I ended up going on the run to London, and things just kind of went from bad to worse. My mother, you know, done the best that she could for me. Eventually, at the end of my using in London, I had a crack cocaine habit. I was homeless on the streets, and my life was basically just falling down around my feet, and I eventually got arrested and I got extradited home from London in 1997, and I got a prison sentence of 5.5 years with a review after 3.5 years, obviously with terms and conditions that I addressed my addiction. I looked, you know, to be doing something about it, and I found a 12-step program in prison in Mountjoy. And I went to this 12-step program, and I ended up getting help from a prison officer, people that I kind of detested most of my life, people in authority like the guards, prison officers. And I went to a detox unit with 10 other lads. Out of the 10 lads that I went to the detox unit with, 7 of them are dead. One of them is in recovery, and the other guy is still using. And I found a way to deal with my past, and I got out. On the 4th of April, or the 3rd of April 2001, and on the 4th of April, I start going to NA and I start going to meetings, and hopefully, please God, a day at a time, next Friday, I'll be celebrating 24 years drug-free and alcohol-free in recovery, you know?
That's amazing, Willa. I mean, even, you know, when you mentioned that 7 of those in the detox, that they died, 7 of those, that's so tragic. How did you, like, I'm watching you now, you are so successful, you turned your life completely around. How did you do that in the end? Was it with the help of everyone else? But there must be something within you that enabled you to do that.
Yeah, you know, I always kind of, from an early age, I was always kind of in talent competitions when I was a kid and was on stage, and I loved the feeling that I got on stage. I think when I look back and I loved the kind of, it's probably what I wasn't getting at home. I was getting the love and affection from strangers, basically. You know, being told that I was good, because in school I was told I was no good, and at home, you know, it was basically the same as well, and that, you know, it was always trouble, trouble, trouble. So I got the help, you know, in a 12-step program, and got myself together. Was very fortunate enough to meet Des Bishop along the way, who's a really good friend of mine, and who's been a great mentor. Ended up on his program, which was Joy in the Hood. Start getting into comedy, stand up comedy, and found that I was, you know, fairly good at it. Then ended up on stuff on TV like The Savage Joy. Ended up on Irish Pictorial. Got a little part in Love Hate, and, you know, a couple of bits and pieces. Ended up on radio. Ended up then going back into prison, putting my hand out to help people and do workshops and work with other comedians. And my life just kind of took off. Had a couple of kids, got all the stuff that I was promised, the mortgage and the car and the, obviously all the responsibilities that come with that, the tax and the insurance and whatever else, and got myself back into mainstream society, but always continued never to forget where I came from and what it was like when times were really, really tough. And I still deal some days with my past and deal, you know, with not the consequences of it, but I'm now rebuilding myself still. I still see a psychotherapist. I still get a little bit of counselling.
Great.
But I don't use anymore, and I don't drink, and I know how to navigate and harness my way through life without the use of drink or drugs, and it's an amazing thing. People say, you know, oh, I'm not very lucky. When I'd had enough, like, you know, I'm very aware that if nothing changes, and it's all about change for me. So I was willing to change. I'd had enough. You know, at the end of my using, I was using intravenously in my groin, in my neck. I was in a really, really bad way. My self, you know, health was in bad deterioration. My teeth, just the way I was living, and I'd had enough and surrendered. That was it. I surrendered and I won, basically, you know.
You sure won. You look so healthy now. Tell me about this play, The Examination. It's not a comedy. Is it your story, or is it other people's stories in there too, Willa?
Yeah, so basically what happened is there's a theatre company called Broken Talkers, Phelim Cannon and Gary Keegan, who's in the play with me. So it's a two-handed play. There's only two of us. And how I got to be in the play was they were doing research in Mountjoy Prison. And they were in Mountjoy Prison for about 18 months, obviously with being able to get out every day and go back in the following day. And they were doing research about the mental health and the welfare of prisoners in the Irish prison system. And they were interviewing guys who were doing life sentences in Mountjoy. And then eventually they were looking for somebody to play a part in the prison. And they came upon the music teacher, who's a guy called Jerry Hendricks, and no relation to Jimmy. And they asked him, they says, is there anybody you would recommend to play this part that we're looking for? And he said, there's only one guy I can think of. He says, he's a guy called Willie White. He says, he's an amazing singer. He's an amazing actor. And he's done a couple of plays in here. And he's got a great story. I think he'd be the fella to get in touch with. So they got in touch with me by Twitter, which is X now at the moment. Mm-hmm. They sent me a message. I spoke to my partner, Linda. I said, I don't know about this. She said, go in, see what they say. You've nothing to lose. So I went in, I met these two guys. They told me what they were doing. Initially, it was meant to be a one-man play, which was just me. And whatever way it turned out, Gary ended up reading in, who was one of the guys out of Broken Talkers. And it turned out that Gary was mugged in London a good few years ago. So then the piece of theatre took a bit of a twist. So it turns out that Gary is an ex-victim of crime who had been a victim of a vicious mugging in London. I am an ex-criminal. So Gary talks about what his experience was like as an ex-victim. Mm-hmm. I talk about what my experience was like as an ex-criminal. We then look at the health and welfare of people in the Irish prison system. We also have extracts from guys that are doing life in Mountjoy Prison. The visuals in it is unbelievable. So we launched this play. It took off. We started off in the Project Arts Centre in 2019, and we took the play to Berlin, we took it to Belgium, we took it to Norway, we took it to the Paris Theatre Festival, we took it to Edinburgh, we brought it all around the country, we won a lot of awards. I won Best Performer at the Dublin Fringe Festival in 2019, which was a really big achievement. And this amazing piece of theatre took a set of legs and just took off itself, and and you talked about, is it my story? Some of it is my story. There's some of my story about being in psychiatric units and what it was like for me. And in the play, people will see me quite a bit in a gorilla costume. And the gorilla costume represents that some people see us as animals in prison. But realistically, underneath that gorilla costume, as throughout the piece of theatre, I take pieces of it off to reveal, you know, there's actually a human being underneath there, whether it's someone's son, someone's daughter, someone's mother or someone's father, you know.
It got absolutely brilliant reviews, and everyone should go and see it. It's been a privilege to talk to you, Willa. Very quickly, when you're in Tommy Tiernan's show, you told him about your very different addiction. How many pairs of trainers do you now own, Willa?
Oh, Jesus.
I
probably own about 120 pairs at the minute.
Yeah, I'm
hiding them at this stage, you know. So come here. It's been a journey. It's been a roller coaster. And just to kind of wrap it up, it's the first Mother's Day today without my mother. My mother passed last May. So just to everyone that's listening that hasn't got their mother around today, you know, be gentle on yourselves, and just a big shout out to everyone.
Oh, that's lovely, Will. I'm so sorry about you losing your mum. And I know you lost your precious sister too. Thank you so much for coming in. Brilliant success. Keep it going. The Examination is at the Ambassador Theatre in Dublin on the 17th, 18th and 19th of April. All details on mcd.ie. And listen, if any listeners have been affected by our chat, they can get helpline details, of course, on rt.ie/helplines. Willa, thanks a million for chatting to me
this
morning.
Thanks so much for
having me. Yeah, my joy. Tweet at Miriam O'Call. Just a few texts there about Willa White. So beautiful to hear Willa's story. He had such a hard beginning and survived so much. We need to hear these stories. And another says, morning, Willa, you're inspirational, recovery in action. And you do the best version of Somewhere Over the Rainbow in a gorilla suit. That's from Wacker and Ballymun. I need to see that. But that's for another day. That's it for us today. One more on Willa White from Maria Burke in West Cork. What a beautiful, articulate and brave man to share his story. We are love and love trumps all. I'm in awe of his bravery. Warm regards. That's for Willa.